Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for this Lord's Day. We thank you, Lord, for the beautiful sunshine. Even though we may not be able to see it because there are clouds, it's still shining. And your love is that way too. There are sometimes, Lord, when we don't feel it, when we wonder, but remind us that your love is always there every moment of every day for us. Meet with us now. Have your way in our hearts. Fill us to overflowing with your love and care. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing, I Am Thine, O Lord.
Let my soul look on thee.
I invite you to join with us now as we unite our hearts together in the litany, Open Our Eyes, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord,
to see the lonely child, the searching youth, the forgotten adult, the timid stranger.
Open our eyes, Lord,
to see the image of God in everyone, the often forgotten and sometimes hidden.
Open our eyes, Lord,
to see the beauty of your creation around us and the potential for healing within us.
Open our ears, Lord,
to hear the cry of those who are hungry, homeless, hurting, helpless, and hopeless.
Open our ears, Lord,
to hear the voices, the songs, and the sounds of nature all around us.
Open our hearts, Lord,
to embrace with unconditional love all of God's rainbow-colored family, and to respect all of God's creatures and all of God's creation.
Open our hearts, Lord.
May our hearts be a channel through which your love and grace can flow to the last, the least, and the lost.
Open our lips, Lord,
to speak kindness and comfort, to tell the good news of Jesus Christ, and to praise our Creator. May the words of our mouths, the thoughts of our minds, and the intentions of our hearts be such that they always give glory and praise to you.
And all of God's children said, Amen and Amen. May be seated. Would the children please come down?
Good morning again, and good morning to you. If you look in a mirror, what do you see? You see yourself. You like what you see? And sometimes we do, sometimes we don't, right? You like what you see when you look in a mirror?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's good. All right, the Bible tells us that we look at other people and ourselves, and we look at our outward appearance. This is what we see. Sometimes we like it, sometimes we don't. But you can't always tell what a person's really like by the outside, can you? No. Sometimes people are the most beautiful person you have ever seen, or the most handsome person you've ever seen on the outside, but they're the meanest, cruelest people, selfish people that you'll ever want to know. And then you have people who are just not so pretty or not so handsome, but they have got the sweetest spirit of anybody that you've ever seen. They're always willing to help somebody out. They always want to help other people, no matter what. And Jesus said that we need to be like him. Does Jesus look at what we are on the outside? What does Jesus look like? Look at. He looks at our heart, doesn't he? God looks at our heart. And that's what he says that we need to do. We need to focus more on the heart of a person. We don't need to look at their skin. We don't need to look at the color of their hair. We don't need to look at whether they're pretty or whether they're ugly. That doesn't matter. What matters is what's on the inside of our hearts. Whether we love God and whether we love other people. Okay? Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us in spite of us. In spite of what we look like, in spite of what we do, in spite of the things we say, you still love us. And Lord, we just pray that you will help us to love other people in every respect. We don't need to look at the way they look. We need to see their heart and their love for other people. We need to know their pain and their agony, and we need to do what we can to help them. Thank you, Lord. We love you. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share? Need to continue to lift up Dan in our prayers. He's still healing. And pray that God's touch would be upon him. Okay, thank you. If you'd put those names on a slip of paper and drop them in the offering plate, we'll be glad to add them to our prayer list.
Pastor, I think we have a couple of praises this week.
Yes.
John and Joanne have a brand new grandbaby. Their first grandchild was born this week. And then I think Miss Jewel had a new great grandchild born this week. So I think we need to praise God for those blessings.
Amen. And many of you have met Miss Marley, our great-granddaughter that's come to church with us a number of times, the one that's usually in my amen corner when she's here. Today is her first birthday. So we'll be going out this afternoon to celebrate with them. Wanda is doing better. She still needs your prayers. She's at NHC in Farragut. And she is, each day she's looking a little perkier, and but I know she'd continue to want your prayers for her. I don't think she's ready for a lot of company yet. She even has trouble reaching her cell phone, so if you could just lift her in your prayers, I know that would be appreciated. She's going through therapy. I walked in there the first day that she was there. I walked in, and she's got a roommate in there. It's a semi-private room, and I spoke to her roommate and went on and talked to Wanda, and a few minutes later, the roommate says, "Did you used to pastor up in La Follette?" I said, "Yes, as a matter of fact, I did." And come to find out, I thought she looked familiar, but you don't want to go up to a woman and say, "Haven't we met somewhere before?" You know, but anyway, there was a couple in our church, Taft and Mary Ollie, he was a retired Methodist minister and wonderful couple, and she would come to church with them maybe once a month or a couple times a month. Of course, this was back almost 20 years ago, so time has passed, but she is Wanda's roommate. But Wanda's doing better little by little, but continue to pray for her. Other joys and concerns? Yes.
Been married 23 years today, and we still like each other, so we're doing great.
23 years today, and they still like each other. Do you still love each other?
Yes.
Okay, very good. I had a couple come to me for counseling one time. They had 5 children, and they said, "The problem is," they said, we still love each other, but we don't like each other." So I'm glad to hear both of those are still functional. Congratulations. As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, this morning, the song says, "Lord, we praise you. Lord, we serve you. Lord, we love you." And we do. We give you thanks and praise this morning for your goodness and for your love. We realize, Lord, that often we're not very lovable, but that does not change your love for us. We pray this morning that you would help us, that we might allow your loving grace to fill our hearts to overflowing. Lord, may we have such an abundance of your presence within us that everywhere we go, whether it's in the marketplaces, whether it's at school, whether it's at work, whether it's in our neighborhood, that people would sense the presence of God there. Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this great nation that we live in. We realize that there's a lot of turmoil right now. There's a lot of frustration. There are people who are demonstrating, and that's a great part of being in America. We just pray that you would unite our people. Lord, there are people who weren't real pleased with the last administration. There are people who aren't real pleased with the current administration. And there are going to be people that are not going to be pleased with the next administration. Almost sounds like church sometimes. But we pray that you would help us, that we might seek to do all that we can to support our leaders, whether we like them or not. We're called to love them, to lift them in our prayers. We pray that you'd be with our troops, that you'd be with their families. We pray, Lord, that you would be with all of our world leaders during this very critical time. We pray that you would guide them and direct them. Lord, there may be times when we need to build walls. There are always times when we need to build bridges. Remind us, Lord, that every single person we see on television, we read about in the papers, are our brothers and sisters. There are those who, whether they would acknowledge it or not, are your children. Many of us have experienced wayward children in our families, and you certainly have in yours too. Help us that we might seek to live in such a way that it would draw people to you, that would make them yearn and crave to know the God who loves them so much that he sent his son to die on Calvary's cross just for them. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. Thank you for the beauty of your creation. Thank you for each moment of life that we have here. May it be a time that prepares us for the eternal life that you have for us. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you come? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for all of your many wonderful gifts to us. We pray now that you bless these, our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who is unable to give. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Many of you learned a new tune this morning. This song, very often we sing to the tune of Oh, 4,000 Tongues. It's still the same words. It's written by Charles Wesley. But that may have been a new melody for you today. Somebody said that a day when you don't learn anything is a day wasted. So whether or not you stay awake for the sermon, at least you've learned a new song this morning. Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, as we continue our series on the Beatitudes. One day, as the crowds were gathering, Jesus went up the mountainside with his disciples and sat down to teach them. This is what he taught them. God blesses those who realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is given to them. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are gentle and lowly, for the whole earth will belong to them. Let me go back and read verses 3 through 5 from the Message paraphrase of the scriptures. You're blessed when you're at the end of your rope. With less of you, there is more of God and his rule. You're blessed when you feel that you've lost what is most dear to you. Only then can you be embraced by the one most dear to you. You're blessed when you are content with just who you are, no more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Thank you.
I probably don't need to tell you that words and their meanings change from time to time and place to place. Having lived in 11 different states, there are a lot of words and phrases that I've learned and had to forget that don't necessarily translate somewhere else. Up north, they talk about fraps and grinders. Don't have too many of them down here. People from up there come down here, and I was talking to a lady from Connecticut recently that had just moved into the area, and I asked her, I said, have you noticed anything different about the restaurants down here? And she picked up on it just like that. She said, oh, it drives me crazy. I'll go into a restaurant and some woman that I've never even met will come up and say, hello there, honey, sweetheart, darling, what can I get you? She said, you talk that way up north. You better be ready to make a commitment. Well, it changes. Let me give you an example of how things change over time. Back in 1677, St. Paul's Cathedral in London was completed. It was 365 feet high, and until 1962, it was the tallest building in London. The architect was Sir Christopher Wren, and he arranged for a private showing of St. Paul's Cathedral to the royal family. At the end of the tour, the king commented on what he saw. He said the cathedral was amusing, awful, and artificial. Sir Christopher Wren was delighted. Why? Because in the late 1600s, amusing meant amazing. Awful meant awesome. And artificial meant artistic. The king was pleased with the work and was offering compliments. Now, words also change with geography. When I was in high school, Mrs. Dawson was one of my teachers, and she told about two of her neighbors. One of the neighbors had just moved to Florida from England. And she and the next door neighbor to Ms. Dawson became close friends. Every morning they would get together for coffee or for tea. They would go shopping together. They would go on walks together. They became best friends. Until one morning, the lady that had been living in Florida told a lady from England that she was going to be busy that day and they wouldn't be able to get together. Same thing the next day and the next day and the next day, and didn't take long for the lady from England to sense that something wasn't right. So she went over to talk to this woman and she said, I thought you and I were becoming such close friends and something seems to have come between us and I don't understand what it is. The other lady said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I was terribly offended and hurt by what you said. The English lady said, I don't understand. What do you mean? She said, all over the neighborhood, people are saying that you have told them that I am the homeliest woman that you have ever met. A lady from England didn't know whether to laugh or cry. She said, I'm so sorry. She said, I didn't mean to offend you. She said, where I come from, to say that someone is homely means that they're an excellent housekeeper. They're a wonderful manager and they know how to seem to do everything right in the kitchen and they've just got it all perfected. Now, my family's originally from England, but they came over almost 400 years ago. So I'm Americanized enough that I don't like to be called homely. And I think Catherine will vouch for you that I'm not homely in the sense of being a housekeeper. Okay? But it does change. A mother was talking to her little boy, little four-year-old preschooler. And she kept calling him her little lamb. Finally, he stood up and he said, "Mom, I'm a big boy now. I don't want to be your little lamb. I want to be your tiger." Well, here Jesus was talking about being gentle and lowly, meekness. And that's another one of those words that a lot of times gets a bad spin on it. What Jesus was talking about with meekness was obedience to God. Throughout the scriptures, we find that meekness refers to those who have committed themselves to doing the will of God, to being God's servants. They've yielded themselves completely to God and God's kingdom. Over in Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, it says, "Now Moses was more humble, meek, gentle, lowly, than any other person on earth." Moses, the same Moses to whom God appeared in the burning bush, the one whom God selected to lead possibly over 4 million Israelites out of Egypt and out of slavery, the Moses who courageously laid his life on the line before Pharaoh, the one who led the Israelites through the Red Sea and through the wilderness, the one who received the Ten Commandments, the one who led the Israelites through battle, the one who led them through discouragement and led them to the promised land. He was meek because he realized that he needed God and he gave himself completely to God. Max Lucado, in his book, The Applause of Heaven, reminds us that throughout the scripture, God used simple, inanimate objects for his purpose. He used Moses' staff to defeat the mighty Pharaoh. He used David's slingshot to defeat the big giant Goliath. Now, if God can use inanimate things, he can surely use us also. The question is not our ability, it is our availability. Did you get that? The question is not our ability, it is our availability. If we are gentle and lowly, if we are meek, first of all, we are surrendered to God. We're surrendered to the will of God. A few moments ago, we prayed, "Thy will be done." We sing that song that says, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay." We sing, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee." We sing, "Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me." The Greek word here is praios, which suggests the taming and training of wild animals. The meek are those who have been tamed and trained by God for God's service. I'm told that in training Arabian stallion horses, day after day after day, they're trained to obey their master, to trust him completely, and to always immediately respond to his call. When the master would whistle for them, they were to stop in their tracks and return to the master. For their final test to see whether or not they were ready, whether or not they were fully trained, they would be corralled at the top of a hill in the desert. At the bottom of the hill was an oasis with cool, clear water. After several hours in the blazing sun, the horses were frantic for water. They were released. And of course, they all headed down the hill at a full gallop toward the water. Just before they would reach that pool of cool, clear water, the master at the top of the hill would whistle. The horses that ignored their master had to go through more training. Those who stopped and returned to the master in spite of their thirst were ready. Now, how can we know God's will, God's plan, God's purpose, God's direction? Let me give you seven real quick points here. First of all, is it definitely in agreement with God's will expressed and written in God's word? If so, fine. If not, don't do it. Number two, have you faced a similar situation before? If so, what was God's will then? If you made a mistake before, don't repeat it. Three, if the decision seems too difficult for you, seek the counsel of mature Christians who have the mind, heart, and spirit of Christ. Four, make it a matter of prayer. Allow the Holy Spirit to impress on your mind and heart the correct course of action. Five, use resources and knowledge available to you. Six, expect and wait to see events and circumstances surrounding the situation to change in a way to help you determine God's will. Too often we act too harshly. Time takes care of many decisions. God is seldom in a rush. Number seven, anticipate that God will open and close doors along the way. Learn to cultivate a sense of acceptance and gladness that you're being made aware of God's will and be happy and at peace about it. Are we surrendered to the will of God this morning? That is what being meek, gentle and lowly really means. Totally surrendered to the will of God. Number two, we are steadied by God's presence. So often we put our trust in power, position, and possessions, and discover that this leads to insecurity and paranoia. Let me repeat that. So often we put our trust in power, position, and possessions, and discover that this leads to insecurity and paranoia. Let me give you an example from history. I doubt that anybody here would say that Joseph Stalin was weak. But did you know that when he was in the height of his power in Russia, he was afraid to even go to bed at night? He had seven locked bedrooms and slept in a different one every night to foil would-be assassins. He used five different chauffeur-driven limousines, each with closed curtains, so that nobody would know which one he was in. Of all the people that he hired to protect him from day to day, he even had one person whose only job was to monitor and protect his tea bags. Let's go back to that statement that we read earlier. So often we put our trust in power, position, and possessions and discover that this leads to security, to insecurity, and paranoia. Now, a little more contemporary example here on the positive side. There was an elderly woman who was a witness, who was called to be a witness on the stand at a trial. The prosecuting attorney was known for his loud, intimidating mannerisms. He would shout and he would scream and he would do his best to emotionally traumatize her. During the course of all this, as she sat there on the witness stand, she prayed that God would give her strength and the right words to say. When he finally paused at the end of his tirade toward her,
She softly replied, "I'm not sure I got all of that. Would you please scream it at me again?" The jury broke out into laughter. The judge could not suppress a chuckle. And the attorney was so frustrated that all he could say was, "No further questions." And he sat down. The woman dared to trust God and was steadied by God's presence. Number three, if we are meek, if we are gentle and lowly, we are self-giving for God's sake. Many arrogant people think only of themselves. Meek people are gentle, kind, and self-giving, and reach out to others in the spirit of Christ. Perhaps you've read some books by Robert Fulghum. I'm told that he has a picture taped beside his bathroom mirror. In this picture are people who are obviously well-educated, rich, and powerful. They're dressed in tuxedos and formal gowns. But right at the center of the front row of that photo is a small, stooped-over woman dressed in a simple Indian sari and sandals. She's Mother Teresa, and she is receiving the Nobel Peace Prize. She has more power and authority than any president, pope, or CEO because she has chosen to be a servant. Blessed are the gentle and lowly, the meek. We're called to be surrendered to God's will, to be steadied by God's presence, and are self-giving for God's sake. They inherit the earth because they are the beloved children of the one who created it all. Heavenly Father, remind us this morning who is in charge. Remind us who is all powerful and all loving. Remind us, in the words of Paul, that though we be free from everyone, we have made ourselves servants to all that we might gain the more. Most of all, remind us that we are called to be your servants. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing "Have Thine Own Way."
Our Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you would have your way in each one of our hearts. Fill us to overflowing with your Spirit, that we might not leave this place to go out and conquer, but that we might leave this place to go out and serve in love through your Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we ask it. Amen.